Good morning. We can tell from the differences in the Gospels that fairly early on, the communities that produced the Synoptic Gospels and the community that produced John's Gospel were very separate, didn't have a whole lot of contact with one another. And the traditions grew in their own ways, differently. When finally they were brought together to form the New Testament, somewhere around the close of the century, there are already a lot of differences. And we see that in the readings today. In the Synoptic Gospels, Acts, which is Luke volume 2, we have this account of Pentecost on Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover, the feast of the giving of the Torah. Passover celebrates Exodus, Passover, Exodus, and then there's 40 days and 50 days, and then there's Sinai, the making of the covenant, the giving of the Torah. And the Holy Spirit comes down on the disciples that day, making the new covenant. John has a whole different account, as we just heard in the Gospel. For John, the Spirit is given Easter Sunday night, the eve of that first day of the week. Jesus says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, we're inclined to ask, well, which one of those is true? When was the Holy Spirit given? Easter or Pentecost? Well, if that's the historical question, the answer has to be, I don't know. And we will probably never know. It's possible that one or the other of those reflects accurately what happened, and the other is sort of a word picture that stretches a reality to try to make a point. It's entirely possible that neither one of them are true, that there was this experience of the Spirit, but when they tried to put it into words, they needed to create a narrative to hold it, and they each created two separate narratives. Or it's entirely possible that both are historically true, that the Spirit was experienced in stages, beginning at Easter and not fully until Pentecost. We don't know. What we do know is this. These traditions that have been divergent for so very long, that they've gotten so very different, have core realities. And when we hit one of those shared elements, we know we've got something very early and very important. And what they obviously have in common is that after Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the apostles. That's the shared reality, the common witness of the Synoptic and Johannine traditions that we need to deal with, take account of in our lives, and believe as a part of our faith. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon the church after and apparently as a result of the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's why the church at Vatican II rearranged the calendar a little bit. Those of you who are as old as I, and there are not many of us, but you can still be a little younger than I and still remember the liturgy before Vatican II. How did they count time? Some dreary Sunday in August, you went to church to be told that this is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. Remember that? Sundays were counted for a long time as Sundays after Pentecost. Easter ended at Ascension Thursday. Thursday it was. And at that time, they blew out the Easter candle. At the Gospel of the Mass on Ascension Thursday, the altar boy came up and put the thing out, put out the Easter candle. And that was the end of the Easter season. Then Pentecost began this whole new season for which we counted Sundays for a very long time. Church of Vatican II said, no, that breaks a tie that ought not be broken. just as Passover, the feast of our coming out of Egypt, and Pentecost, the feast of our receiving the Torah, the Book of the Covenant at Sinai, are tied together. So are the death and resurrection of Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit of the risen Christ tied together. So Easter was established as a 50-day season, and Pentecost becomes the concluding feast of the Easter season. It wraps it up and sends us out into ordinary time. Feast of the Baptism works the same way. It's parallel now. The baptism celebrates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus in the beginning of his ministry, and thus concludes the Christmas season. Pentecost represents the descent of the Holy Spirit upon us and the beginning of our ministry, and thus concludes the Easter season. So it is a bringing to completion of what began with the dying and rising of the Lord. The Spirit of the risen Christ is poured out upon us, and we go out and begin ministry. That's why in this church, for many years now, we have done a renewal of confirmation on Pentecost, just as we do a renewal of baptism at Easter. At Easter, we celebrate that we are baptized into Jesus and share in him and in his relationship to God. And on Pentecost, we celebrate the fact that we are baptized into the Christ, the Anointed One, the one who was anointed priest and prophet and king, and that we are sent out to continue his ministry. And that's why the third great witness to this tradition, the Synoptics and John and Paul, speak of the Spirit as he does in that second reading in 1 Corinthians. The Spirit is not poured out upon us for our own private enjoyment. Oh, gee, isn't this great? Look at this. This is a great show, you know? The Spirit is poured out upon us that we might continue the work of the Christ. Paul is very emphatic about that and goes on to describe it at some length and in some variety. There are all kinds of different ministries, he says, but the one Spirit. In explaining that, the analogy that the fathers of the church keep coming back to is rain. Rain. Pure, natural, healthy water. The most basic substances around. And one that is the same everywhere and always. And yet used by every creature differently. The rain doesn't fall, nothing grows. And believe me, where they lived, they understood that. Where the rain falls, each living thing takes it in and uses it in its own way. Take out your machete, cut open a cantaloupe. You can see the water there. Stick your spoon into it. You can taste the water there. The water has been soaked up, preserved. But the water is no less necessary to a walnut. You don't see any water in a walnut. Looks pretty dry. Tastes kind of dry, actually. But without the water, no walnut grows. Each plant uses it to produce, in its own way, in its own kind, abundant fruit. Each animal the same. Each human the same. So it is, the fathers say, with the Spirit. The Spirit is one. The Spirit is the same for each of us, just as the rain comes down the same for each of us. But each of us uses it a different way. Each of us takes the Spirit into our own hearts and uses it in the way that works for us, in the way that we have been called to minister. And Paul goes on to give that whole list of ministries. And that's not an exhaustive list. That's just a few illustrations of what the Spirit is calling people to do in the church that Paul experienced. It's the same for us. The Spirit is the same. It is the Spirit that is the gift of the Father. It is the Spirit that is the sign of the risen Christ. It is the Spirit that as we'll see next week when we talk about the Feast of the Trinity, is the personified love that flows between the Father and the Son. And yet each of us uses the Spirit a little differently, albeit all for the common good. How do we do that? Have to decide for ourselves. It's part of the challenge. Look at your own life. Look at your talents. Look at your limitations. Look at your situation. See where you are called to serve as priest, as prophet, as king. Where is your anointing as the Christ leading you to minister? That's true for all of us all the time. It's especially true for us at certain points in our life. And that's why we have made the connection over the years between this Feast of Pentecost and the graduation of our high school seniors. No, you don't decide your life once and for all when you graduate from high school. There's no once and for all for anything. But it's surely a major step. You decide what direction you're going to point yourself at. Are you going to go to school? Where are you going to go to school? What are you going to study? What are you planning for? It may change a time or two by the time you get where you're going. But certain things get ruled out early by the decisions that you make now. Decide where the Spirit is leading you. Decide where God is calling you. See what your opportunities are. See what your talents are. It sounds very highfalutin, but it can come down to some very simple ideas. When I was in school, thinking about those things, my parents summed it up for me and my brother. Three simple rules that I think are still valid. Pick something you're good at. Pick something that's fun for you. Pick something that makes a difference. If you're not good at it, why bother? God has given you unique talents. Use your talents. Don't butt your head against a stone wall by trying to be something that you're not and never will be. I can admire what Joe does at the keyboard. I could never do it. And all I would do is torture my fingers and your ears if I tried. Don't work at something you're not good at. Pick something you're good at. Pick something that's fun for you. Because if it's not fun, you won't stick to it very long. You will be one of those people who looks from the beginning of the clock to the end of the clock. Counts nothing but when Jesus was talking about the shepherd, who thinks only of his pay and has no concern for the sheep. If you don't love it, don't do it. Pick something you're good at, something that's fun for you, and something that makes a difference. Don't waste your talents. Don't find your joys or try to find joys in something that just is a way to get a paycheck. Yeah, you need to get a paycheck, you know. People develop bad habits in life, like eating and paying rent and things like that. Somehow, finding a job is an important part of the process. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be a sense of mission. It's got to be being anointed. It's got to be the contribution that we make to the plan that God has been working on ever so patiently, oh, these many millennia. We're not going to change it a whole lot. There are billions of us now, and there have been billions in the past, and there'll be billions more in the future. The part that falls to each one of us is pretty small, but it's real nonetheless. Find the place where you can make the biggest difference and be there. That's not to say that this profession is better than that one, that job is better than that one. But this one may be better for you than that one. It may be a better fit for your unique talents. For your unique opportunities, and respectful of your unique limitations. So, it's something for all of us to think about. For our graduates, in a very particular way, as they set their life on a course. But for all of us, as we look around where we are, this Spirit of the risen Christ that is poured out upon us, as we are baptized into the one who was anointed priest and prophet and king, where do we sit? Where do we stand? What are our opportunities? How can we minister? We rededicate ourselves to that here on Pentecost by being anointed with the oil that is the symbol of being anointed with the Spirit. Just as on Easter, we renewed our baptism into Jesus and into His relationship with God, so on Pentecost, we are anointed with oil to renew our relationship with Jesus the Christ and His anointing for God's kingdom. For that, sisters and brothers, let us pray.